Good morning. This is Roland Springs Baptist Church, and we welcome each one. We are now studying in the book of Hebrews, and this is part two of Hebrews. We have completed part one, which was chapters 1 through 4, and now we're starting in our study in Hebrews part 2, and last week was lesson 1, which was in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. So today we will pick up again in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, and this will be lesson 2 of part 2 of Hebrews. And we will be studying from chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, and also chapter 6. And we will go from chapter 6, 1 through 8. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you give us to study your word. And Father, we look to you through your Holy Spirit to teach us as we study, Father, to give us understanding of your truths, of your word. And so we just ask for the knowledge and for the wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Father, just use me as your tool to guide and lead this class, this study, and we give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin today by reading chapters from chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time we ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, we need to look in this review back at what we have previously studied in our study last week, and we want to see what we have learned about what the author is saying to the recipients. We know that the author is speaking to Hebrew believers, and that in speaking to them, he wants to remind them of what Jesus has done for them and whether they have grown in the knowledge and understanding of this. So let's just briefly go through and see what the author is saying here. Looking now at Hebrews 6, 1 through 2, let's read those verses, and then we're going to come back and we want to discuss each verse. Hebrews 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, as we look at this, we see that the author is saying that he couldn't speak to them as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, because they had not grown in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Word of God. We learned in our previous study that Jesus is our high priest forever, and that we can draw near to him for help in times of temptation to sin. We also learned that Jesus is better than the angels, that he is better than Moses. But he is now speaking to these Hebrew believers, and he is saying to them that they should be teachers of the word by now, because the word's been spoken to them, and they should now be teachers of the word and not be dull of hearing. And he said that you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles or the oracles of God, and you come to need milk and not to need solid food. So, in other words, they're like an infant. An infant is born, and you give that infant milk until it begins to grow and nourish from the milk. And as it nourishes from that, it grows and it needs some solid food. So he's saying that you have become dull or sluggish. In other words, you've become lazy or slow, hard of hearing. And so what he is speaking to is about their spiritual growth. They should have been teachers, but instead they needed to be taught. And their spiritual growth had not been what it should have been. And so what is the milk of the word when we're talking about the milk that they are feeding on, that they should have now got into solid food? The milk of the word is the foundational or elementary teachings about Christ. So we know Christ is the Greek word Messiah. And so part of the milk is teaching them about repentance from dead works or the law. It's faith toward God and instructions about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, these are the basics or the elementary and foundational things that all have to learn as they receive faith to believe. Now, what is solid food? What does it mean by the solid food of the word? The solid food that the author was referring to is about Jesus, a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, he is the source of eternal salvation and the one who gives grace to hold fast one's confession that he is the Christ. So, as you grow in the Word, then it feeds you the solid food. Some of the things that we want to look at as cross-reference, first of all, found in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 9. We want to look at these verses and see if these are those feeding on milk or if they are growing on solid food. Starting with verse 1, Paul says to the Corinthians, "And I, brothers and sisters, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to consume it. But even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking the ordinary people like ordinary people? For when one person says, 'I am with Paul,' and another, 'I am with Apollos,' are you not ordinary people? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now the one who plants and the one who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." So here we see that the infants are the ones who are involved in jealousy and strife because of boasting in men. And they're boasting in the men who led them to the Lord and letting that cause the strife and jealousy among them. And we know that this still happens today. In our churches, there is strife, there is jealousy, and we forget that God is the one that we're to serve and not men. Now, also, as a cross-reference, let's look at 1 Peter 2nd chapter 1 through 3, verse 1. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." So, this is an illustration of how newborn babes long for milk. That's all they want. And believers are to belong for the pure word of God, like new babes long for milk. So feeding on God's word is what grows believers. And that's what the writer or the author of Hebrews was saying to these that he was speaking to, that they need to grow beyond the milk. They need to know more about God's word. Let's look also at cross-reference that refers to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. And let's see if this is talking about carnal Christians. What is the difference between carnal and the unrighteous? Now, or do you know, starting with verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor those habitually drunk, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus in the Spirit of our God. So, here he's saying the unrighteous are the ones that continue in sin and not in the part of God's kingdom. And he also points out to them not to be deceived. And some today, even today, are deceived about continuing in sin as carnal Christians. But they are unbelievers. If one claims to be a believer but continues in sin, then he is not a believer. And what that is saying, if he is a potential, a one that continually sins, it's habitual. It's not the sin that a Christian does, but it is the same sins that they were in, and then they were not a believer. But he is saying here that you, Paul is saying to these Corinthians, that's what you were before you were washed, before you were sanctified or justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. So those infants in 1 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 5 were truly believers, but not yet where they should be in their growth. So he was saying then, as we read in chapter 5 of Hebrews, that they were believers but had not grown in the grace and in the knowledge of God. Now, let's look at the mature. Going back to chapter 5, verse 14, it says that the solid food of God's word is for the mature. So how then do we as believers find this solid food? It's by practice by reading and studying the word, that we might be trained to understand the word, and that we might learn what is good and evil. So the exhortation then that he is speaking to us about is in chapter 6 of Hebrews. He says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. It says here that diligence is a part of growth. So what is it to be diligent? It's to be eager to go forward. If we are diligent, we are striving to press on. He says, press on to maturity. And it prevents us from becoming sluggish or dull of hearing. And we have a longing to be fed on the pure word of God. Now, as a cross-reference, let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. And I'll start with verse 11. And this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, here in these passages of Ephesians, it's talking about spiritual maturity of the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers are given forth God's word to the people. And from God's word, it equips the saints for the work of service. And then they know how to serve according to what God says. And that then builds up the body of Christ, which is the church. And result of that body grows to a mature man in Him, in Christ. And we're no longer children cared about by every wind of doctrine, speaking the truth in love to grow up in Him. Each part of the body working for growth. So here we see that Paul is speaking to these Ephesians, and he is telling them that as a result of being equipped by the word that God gives to us, then we won't be carried around by just every word of false doctrine that comes, deceitfulness and scheming. But if we are in the Word, then we're speaking the truth in love, and we grow up in all aspects to Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. And so we see that therefore we, as being the body of Christ, we're becoming fitted and held together by every word of Christ as we study and come to know Him, and all of it is built up through His love. Now let's do a little review that is going to take us back into what we've been studying so that we can see how that the author is pleading the case for Christ. And he starts out in that very first chapter. And this is what we found as we studied in Hebrews chapter 1, that God spoke in His Son. And His Son is God, the Creator and the Ruler. And we learned that He is better than the angels. And in chapter 2 of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us to listen to what God said to His Son so that you won't neglect salvation. Jesus the Son became man to make propitiation for sins. He became our high priest. So knowing Jesus as our high priest is how that we grow in the knowledge and wisdom. We first have to have the basics, but then once we have the basics of the knowledge of how that we can obtain salvation, we need to grow. And that's what the author of Hebrews is teaching to these Hebrew believers that have come to know the Lord. And then in chapter 3, Jesus, the apostle and the high priest, we learned is faithful to God who appointed him. We learned in chapter 3 that Jesus was appointed by God, and we believers are of his house, Christ's house, if we hold fast till the end. And he also pointed out that if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. In other words, if you are called, don't harden your heart and turn him away. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, he encourages by saying to be diligent to enter his rest, to enter salvation. So God's word judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And Jesus is our great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. So we're to hold fast our confession and draw near with confidence. And then we have been studying in Hebrews 5 and 6 today. In Hebrews 5, we learn that a high priest who can deal gently with people, since he has weaknesses too. And high priests are called by God. Jesus was called by God to be high priest according to Melchizedek. He is the source of eternal salvation. And so we'll have much to say then about this, but he said later in this chapter that we studied today that they have become dull of hearing. And as we went into part of chapter 6, he told us to leave the elementary teachings and press on to maturity. Those who have fallen away can't be renewed again to repentance. Convinced of better things concerning you, which is things of salvation, he is saying, show diligence and hope until the end. And he goes on to say that Jesus, our high priest, entered the veil for us. So we know, as we study now through the book of Hebrews, that it's about Jesus, our high priest. And we've learned that it's a book or a word of exhortation to those who are weak and tempted. And it's also warnings throughout about missing salvation. So each of us should continue to study and pray that God be willing that he will give us understanding of his truth through his word, that we too may grow in his grace and in his knowledge, and that we will not feed just on the things, elementary things that we've learned, but that we will grow on everything that we learn, that we will be able to teach others. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So let us grow. Let us grow in that grace and knowledge by studying diligently and praying diligently that God would give us the knowledge and understanding through his grace. And we'll close today's lesson by going to the Lord in prayer. And I ask that each of you pray for yourselves, for each other, and for me as we study together, and pray that others that may listen, that don't truly know and understand the Word of God and the way to salvation, that the Holy Spirit will use his word and direct them and convict them that they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let us pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word, because we know your word is truth. Oh, your word is you, because we know that in the beginning that you created all things, and that there was nothing created that was not created by you, and that you are the Word. You are the truth, the way, and the life. And only through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, may we have salvation. He came, Father, to draw us back to you, to pay for our sins, that we may find perpetuation in you, Father, to have that relationship with you that was broken. And we just want, Father, to submit ourselves, to be diligent to your word, and to have understanding. And I just pray that you will give me understanding through your Holy Spirit to lead those, Father, that are hungry, that want to grow, that want to know you more. Help each of us, Father, I pray. And I ask it all now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.